Hey, I'm Dave Irwin. Thanks for joining me for the Project 44 Daily Accelerator for June 8th. Today, we're mainly covering 2 Kings chapter 3 and 2 Chronicles chapters 20 through 21. And though today's reading is fairly short, there are several points that we should pause to explore. First is God's miraculous provision of water for the Israelite army. The army has been traveling through the desert of Edom on their way to attack Moab, and they've run out of water. And being in the desert, they have really no ability to access water. So they call on Elisha, the prophet of God, who tells them that God is going to provide water in a very specific, miraculous way. Not through a natural storm or, you know, well of water, but in a special way. And he tells them, he gives them the instructions to go and dig ditches in a valley, the valley where they're stationed. Dig ditches in preparation for the water that God would send. And I got to wonder if they thought Elisha was crazy. They're in the desert. They're already thirsty, and you want us to go dig ditches to make us more thirsty, to make us worse? What if God doesn't come through? Then we're worse off than when we started. But they respond rather in obedience. They go prepare the ditches, and God is faithful. God proves himself faithful. He provides the water through his power. And when that water comes, it fills the ditches. And not only does it satisfy the thirst of the army, but God uses that in a really special way to begin the battle in victory for Israel. And that kind of takes us to the next part. The second thing that we want to note is the conclusion of the battle. So the battle begins as Moab is deceived, is tricked by these pools of water. And it ends in a very bizarre way. The army of Moab is all but defeated. And the king sees this coming. And he's in desperation. He sacrifices his oldest son. He'd be the heir to the throne. Sacrifices him to their god. And and because of that, the Israelite army, they quit. They go home. Now, sacrificing their, you know, a son is, while it's deplorable, it was not uncommon at that time. So what was so special about this that would make Israel quit? They're on the verge of victory, a final victory, and they quit and go home. Well, the text says that they do this because there was a, quote, great fury against Israel. And we don't know what this fury was. Maybe it was a tangible response from the deity that, or at least the spiritual reality that the king of Moab sacrificed his son to. If you remember back to June 5th in our reading, there's a prophet Micah who detailed a scene in the spiritual realm where spiritual realities, spiritual beings are working through and behind the false gods and false prophets of the time. So we know that there are spiritual realities behind these false gods, and maybe one of them was manifesting some power. This certainly wouldn't have been enough power to overcome Yahweh, the Lord. But for some reason, it made the Israelites doubt the power of God, the power of Yahweh, and they backed down. It may have also just been kind of the Moabites rallying around. Maybe that sacrifice was enough to ignite their determination. And even though they were almost defeated, that their intense determination turned back the Israelites. Whatever it was, it caused the Israelites to lose faith in God. Even though they began the battle with a miracle, they were quitting the battle because they lost faith. Well, the third thing we want to note is the letter from Elijah to Jehoram. And this is especially noteworthy because Elijah is not on the planet anymore. Remember from yesterday's reading, Elijah was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. And so where did this letter come from? Maybe Elijah wrote the letter from heaven. I bet they have good stationery there. But anyway, maybe he wrote it, a letter from heaven, and God delivered it by an angel or another world went however he wants to. It does seem far-fetched, but we are talking about God. He did take Elijah to heaven in a whirlwind. he could certainly deliver a message, a letter if he wanted to. You know, a more mundane, a more simplistic answer is that Elijah wrote this letter previously, that God had given him a foreknowledge and a message to deliver. He wrote it down and maybe left it with one of the other prophets to deliver under certain circumstances, at a particular time. So wherever the letter came from, or whenever Elijah wrote it, we do know that it was not a warm and fuzzy note. It wasn't, "Hey, how are you? Miss you, buddy." It was a pretty hard-hitting letter, and it brings out the last thing that we want to consider, and that was the fact that Jehoram brought a significant spiritual drift to the nation of Judah. And we can see it from the very beginning. From the moment that Jehoram becomes co-ruler with his father Jehoshaphat, Jehoram immediately, one of the first things he does is eliminate the competition. He had all of his brothers killed. And that was not uncommon in that day and that time, to prevent anyone from, killing you and taking your place. But if Jehoram had any inclination of being the kind of king who honored God, then he was off to a really bad start. In fact, his decisions early on much more reflect the evil kings, the kings of Israel who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And we don't know, all the factors that developed this in Jehoram that created this spiritual drift. But the text does give us one definite factor, one definite cause. And it says that he married a daughter of Ahab, and this woman brought poison to Jehoram's heart. Now, we can't lay all the blame on his wife. Jehoram undoubtedly is responsible for his own decisions, and there was already evil in his heart and that was factoring in. But this person brought poison to his life, and that should give us reason to pause and be cautious of who we let into our lives. For those of us that want to follow after the Lord, that want to live a life that pleases the Lord, we must be cautious of who we let into our inner circles. The friends we have, the relationships we have, they will influence how we live our life. They will influence whether our lives honor God or whether they dishonor God. Well, we have bounced around between topics today. I hope that, one, you are encouraged to hold fast to your faith, that as we know God is able and we know his power, that when you bump into obstacles and difficulties, that you will hold fast to your faith. Don't be like the Israelites who lose faith when they hit a hard spot, but hold fast. And I hope you're reminded to be cautious of who you allow into your life, into your inner circle, the relationships you build, and to be conscious of whether those people will influence you towards God or away from God. Thanks for joining me today.